You see it in the pasuk? The Torah says Mashiach. Vashevosa levavecho b'chol agoyim v'shovar Hashem lekecho shivuscho v'richamecho v'achres hayom, you're going to do tshuva. That's Mashiach. That's Mashiach. Pasuk in the Torah, there's nothing mystical about the pasuk. The pasuk merely says that there's a hapkocha that this will occur. There's a hapkocha that this will occur. When will it occur? It can occur any time. It can occur any time. Any time Klal Yisrael is on the level. Any time the Klal Yisrael is on the level, it can occur. You see? And the person and the leader's on the level and the people are on the level, that's it. It'll occur. There's one other chazal though. Yes. Vim yamod melech mi beis David hoga b'torah v'oseg b'mitzvos k'david aviv. That's Mashiach. That's it. It says then there's Cheskas Mashiach first, and then also the Tzliach. Now we know it's Mashiach. What is this Cheskas Mashiach and no Mashiach? Well, it means simply that this is, we know the only thing we have our Tocha from God, from the Torah, is that we know that this occurrence will take place. It has to take place at some time. But the manner in which it takes place is. The manner in which it takes place is dependent upon our Bechira. That's it. Okay? So instead of a Mashiach fever where people are going around with crazy ideas, what they have to do, if they want to bring Mashiach, it's a wonderful thing, a person plus a Mechach and Mashiach, they have to perfect yourself. That's it. That's what they have to do. They have to perfect themselves and raise themselves to a higher level. Not run around jumping and asking for Mashiach. That's not going to do it. The Chatum Mitzrayim is exactly the opposite. Chatum Mitzrayim represents man, see, Chatum Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu's miracles represent the submission, subordination of a human being to his proper place insofar as the universe is concerned and insofar as the source of the universe is far as the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Magic and superstition, magic is the opposite. It's an attempt to control, to exercise control, and to demonstrate and to get caught up in a person's own fantasy of his own omnipotence. That's what the Chatum represents. That's why the Torah always has Zeh l'umah zeh. The Chatumim tried it, and they convinced themselves that's it, and they walked away. Okay. So that was really the battle between the Chatumim, the Chatumim Moshe Rabbeinu. Yes. The Gemara says, by Yeshua ben Nun, Yeshua was a very nice person. Very nice guy. So Yeshua ben Nun said, when he took over, he said, look, he says, I'll take over with the Zakenim, and we'll work together. So, I think it's the thing was that Kadosh Baruch Hu told him, no, hach, he come al katkadam, hit them on the head. Davo echad l'dor, v'ein shnei dav l'dor. That has to be one leader. Whatever. It's like it seems that way. It seems that for leadership is necessary. You have to have one leader. The only thing is, that there is a Chazal that says Beita Achishena, Beita Achishena, and Chazal say, what is it? It's in Sanhedrin. So what does it mean? It means to say, so the Gemara says, if it's Zocha, so then it's Achishena. If it's not Zocha, then it's Beita. What that means is like this: that the Haftocha is that it will take place. That it will take place, Mashiach. Mashiach will take place. But how it will take place, there are two possibilities. It can be brought about through themselves, like Bar Kochba was a situation where it actually could have been accomplished. Nothing in the way. They didn't make a mistake, Chazal. Chazal didn't make a mistake. Could have taken place. But, or else, Achishena, that's Achishena. But Be'ito means that HaKadosh, if Klal Yisrael is in Zocha, so then it will, a certain time will be designated that it will happen at a certain time. It'll happen at a certain time. You see? And that seems to be, I think that's the pshat where it says that Moshe Rabbeinu was a specific time. It was a specific time. Because it says when he was born, Vatera Oso Kitovu, that they saw that he was good. So of course, what's the meaning? How will a baby be good? What's a baby? Well, every baby's a good baby. What's wrong? So the Vatera Oso Kitovu. So the plain shot in the pasuk of the Teres HaKitovu means that the child was born three months prematurely, and that's why she was able to hide the child for 3 months. So the Teres HaKitovu means that she saw it was healthy even though he was born 3 months prematurely. That's a plain shot. But the Rashi does quote the Chazal, Nesmale Abayis Kula Ora, and all these different things that occurred. What is the Medrash trying to say? The Medrash is trying to say that over there it was a matter of the ito. It was in the Yetzias Mitzrayim, it was predestined that it was to occur at that time. That's what it means by the sign. The signs merely mean that they knew when he was born the nevuah. The nevuah. It's Mali Habayas Kula Ora. Doesn't mean that the house got lit up. I mean, this is foolish. It means it's Mali Habayas Kula Ora. It means it was in the Mali Nevuah. Mali Nevuah, they were able to see that something. They were Nevi'im. Miriam said that my mother's going to be is going to give birth to the Moshe Yisrael. And it's Mali Habayas Kula Ora is the Mali Nevuah. They saw that there was something special because they knew that Moshe Yisrael was destined at a precise moment. And Chazal say it had to happen at that moment because had it happened a little later, Klal Yisrael would have been destroyed. So Moshe Rabbeinu was Moshe Yisrael, but over there was Be'ito. In Perek Hamishi, just got finished with Gimel, Vasor Nesionos Nisnasav Romavino, V'amad B'kulon. Okay. Now you have something very strange. You have we know in Yadis one thing that a person requires is intellectual tolerance, which is to be able to entertain a question, and could be a very difficult question. But you know the method of Reb Chaim was one of the unique marks of the method of Reb Chaim was that he wasn't afraid to leave a sugya with a kasha, a big kasha, a basic question. So in learning, you can't always expect to have the answer, have the sugya unravel itself, and be satisfied that your intellectual curiosity, and be happy that your intellectual curiosity was satisfied. I mean, it doesn't always work that way. Sometimes you have to be able to walk away from a sugya, and you simply don't know what the main idea of the sugya is. I mean, you have to be able to do that. Otherwise, you have to assume that you could understand every sugya, which is false. So we're not dissatisfied when we don't understand. We're happy that we have a question, that we've raised a problem, and we go on. So the last thing you think of was Asura Nisim Snasa Rumvim. Now, this is like this. Asura Nisim, the next one, Mishnah Dalit. Asura Nisim Nasu Avosenu Bimitzrayim Asura Layom. Okay. Now, the Mefarshim spell out all the Nisim, of course. And the Asura Layom, there's a Rambam, if you take a look on the side, he describes exactly what the 10 Nisim that happened on the Yom were. But I'm not going to go into the Nisim. But the 10 Nisim on the Yom, the Rambam says, and the Rishonim say, is Divrei Kabbalah. That we know that they occurred because of Amasora, but it's not open in the Torah. Okay. So the next Mishnah deals with that with that fact. Then you have another Mishnah. The same Mishnah, but further in the Mishnah. Asar Nisyonos Nisu Avosenu Es HaMakom BaMidbar. There were 10 Nisyonos, 10 times that the Jews in the Midbar, so to speak, tested God. Shenema Vayinasu Osi Zeh Eser Palmin V'lo Shama B'Kali. And again, the Mefarshim go through what the 10 were. So, just basically, those 10, let me go through some of them. Arishon al Yamsuf, Ba'omrum, Hamidliyin Kvar Mitzrayim. That's one. When they wanted to go back, they went out of Mitzrayim, they wanted to go back. Vabez, second one was in Mora. La'ilon al Moshe Leva Manishta. The third was in Sin. Niyitein Museini B'yad Hashem. The fourth was
Barnea Hamon at Boker. And the fifth was by the Mon. The sixth was by Yerfidim. And the seventh was in Chorev and Maisel Ego. Then there was Tavero. And then Misonanim. And then the Asafsof. And then the Meraglim. Okay. That's it. Only 10 times in 40 years. And Chazal say was that the Dor HaMidbar was a Dor Dea. Dor Dea. They were on a very high level. But they had these 10 times that they were Menasa Kadosh Baruch Hu. All right? 10 times. Only 10 times. But it was a Dor Dea. Okay, of course, when we read the Torah, we feel that we wouldn't do such a thing. And we would follow Moshe and there wouldn't be any problem. All right. But that's because we don't understand the level of of what it means, Manasseh says Hashem. But, at any rate, that's what that's the second half of this Mishnah. Okay? Where after it tells you about the Nisim that happened in Mitzrayim and Alayam. All right, next Mishnah. Asara Nisim Nasa Lava Sin of Beis HaMikdash. There were 10 Nisim that occurred in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Mishnah lists what these Nisim were. Okay? Different things with regard to the procedures that occurred in the Mikdash. That all the procedures that had to take place in the Mikdash, that basically, that nothing interfered with them. Nothing interfered with the procedures in the Mikdash. That's basically the universal of the 10 Nisim that occurred in the Mikdash. The Mikdash was an unusual place, and the Kabbonos had to be discharged properly, and nothing stood in the way, and it tells you the 10 things that didn't stand in the way of the procedures of the Kabbonos. Okay. Now, of course, the question is, what does this have to do with Masechet Avos? What does it have to do with Masechet Avos? And the next Mishnah Vav, is Asorah Dvorim Nivru Be'erev Shabbos Bein HaShemashos Ve'elu Hayim. 10 things were created Erev Shabbos Bein HaShemashos, right before the conclusion of the creation, of the process of creation, in the last moment. And these are they. You have the Pi Ha'aretz, when the earth swallowed the Adas Korach. And then you have Pi Ha'be'er, Pi Ha'oson, Keshes, Hamon, Ha'mate, Shomir, Ksav. I'm not going to go into all of them. But basically, there were 10 things when it was in the Torah that occurred, the miracles in the Torah that occurred Bein HaShemashos. Now, what does this mean to say? What does it mean to say? It's an interesting concept. It means to say that the Nisim didn't occur, that God did not change the Teva. God did not change the Teva at the time. In other words, the Jews had to go out of Mitzrayim, so they required certain Nisim. Right? Moshe's Mata had to exist. So this Mata of Moshe, really was created Erev Shabbos Bein HaShemashos, right before the culmination of all the laws of nature. And the Rishonim explained that it's not just these 10, but really any nace that occurred was already predetermined from Sheshes and Bereshes. For instance, the nisim that I mentioned before, the Yam, Kriyas Yamsuf, and the way Kriyas Yamsuf is described by the Mefarshim, the 10 nisim alayom, is a very intricate formula for it. It was an intricate, a lot of processes that took place, a lot of strange events. And all those strange events were really from the time of the creation, was set into creation that way. All right. Now, again, the question is, what does all this have to do with Masechet Avos, with the Gemara of Avos? Because the Gemara of Avos is basically a sefer that teaches a person ideas of ethics and morality. And what does this have to do with Avos? Now, it's interesting, but the Rambam before is sensitive to this question, because the Rambam says in Beis, when it talks about the 10 Doros, mm-hmm. So the Rambam says, he mentions Asar Mamoros, he says, because in the Asar Mamoros, he says, Bohen Musar Lo'odom Lezarez Aso L'Sakei Nafsho B'maylos Hamidos U'B'maylos Hasichlios. Because Shezek Havon Asos HaMasechta. So he says, because in the Asar Mamoros, and we explained already how it's tied in, why how the Asar Mamoros improve a person. And the Rambam explains that the reason why he put this here is because from this we can derive a zeros. From here we can derive inspiration to perfect ourselves. He says, which is the purpose? To perfect ourselves both in our midos, our character traits, and also in our intellectual perfections, which is the purpose of this mesechta. So the Rambam's aware of the problem, that something that is not in line with avos does not belong in this mesechta. And yet, strangely enough, I mean, you look around over here in the next mishnayos in Nesionis and Nesnas Avram, you understand that teaches you perfection. Right? But you look in Dalad, which is the ten nisim, ten on the yom, the ten Nesionos that the Bnei Yisrael and Manasseh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the ten nisim that happened in the Beis HaMikdash, ten dvarim that were created Erev Shabbos Ben HaShmashos. I mean, what does this have to do with Elos? Then in Zion he goes back to Shiva Dvarim B'Golam V'Shiva B'Chacham. Alright? So then you're going back to the subject matter of ethics. But this is a breach, these Mishnayos. Dalet, Hey, and Vav basically have nothing to do with on the surface with Elos. Alright? That is really the problem of this area. I mean, if the Mishnah wants to tell you about the Nisim that occurred in Mitzrayim and Yom Suf, fine, but this is not the place for it. And interestingly enough, I mean, I haven't seen one Mefarash. I mean, certainly not Rashi, not the Rambam, not the Rabbeinu Yonah. I think I checked through them, and I don't see anyone that tries to explain this problem, answer this problem. There's always one solution. You can skip it and go to Mishnah Zion. next thesis. Last time we spoke about Avraham Avinu, if I remember correctly, but the ten essentials of Avraham Avinu, and we mentioned the perfection of Avraham. We mentioned Nisayon does not just mean something, a test in which a person has to act in a certain way, but really it means the acceptance of the attitude of the individual towards any untoward event that occurs in their lives. And today I'd like to talk a little bit about bitachon, about the concept of bitachon. And it'll tie in later, but I'd like to talk about it first because it's more practical. What I have to say later is more philosophical. See, the question is, we say a person, we always know a person is supposed to have bitachon b'Hashem. A person is supposed to have faith in God. Now, what exactly does bitachon b'Hashem mean? Now, what does it mean? And everybody seems to feel that they intuitively that they know what this means. Like the Rambam says, everybody feels they know what Olam Haba is. Of course, they don't have any idea of what it is. They don't use their intellect, and they don't understand what it is. They don't even care to understand it because they feel they know it. This is a bad practice in Yadas. Same thing with Bitachon. People feel they know what Bitachon means. What does Bitachon mean? Something is about to occur that we view as being a terrible catastrophe. So we say you have to have bitachon b'Hashem. You have to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He will help you. All right. There's only one problem with this. I mean, what does that mean? I have to believe He's going to help me. And does that mean to say that if I believe that He's going to help me, that then He will help me? Which means to say that if it occurs, it's because I didn't believe enough. Okay? And then you have a problem, because there were people that were paragons of Bitachon, and they, nevertheless, they untoward events occurred to them. They say, would you say that Avram Avinu would lack Bitachon? Because things, it says, Vayera Hadavar Ma'od Beine Avram, like we mentioned last time. Alodos Bino, he had to send his son away. Ishmael was a son, he loved him, father had natural feelings towards the son, and he had to send him away. So what does it mean? If he would have had more Bitachon, it wouldn't have happened? I mean, it's absurd. Okay? The one that points out this question is the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish raises this question. He says, what is meant by Bitachon? So the Chazon Ish gives an answer. He says, Bitachon really doesn't mean that God will do what you desire. Because that's not true. Because you see, as much Bitachon as a person has doesn't necessarily mean that that which he wants will occur. Okay, even if he's convinced that that which is about to befall him is a terrible catastrophe, still doesn't matter. It might in fact occur. So if in fact it might occur, so what is, so then what is, where's your bitachon? What is bitachon going to help you? So he says, so Chazon Ish is on the on Amunah and Bitachon. It's in one of his writings, right, on Amunah and Bitachon. I haven't seen it for many years, but basically, what I remember from what he says is as follows, that bitachon really is the same thing as emunah. Same thing as emunah. What is emunah? Emunah means that you believe that everything that occurs, occurs because of God's will. That's what emunah means. So he says, but in emunah, we don't say that we know exactly the way God is going to proceed. Okay? So he says that bitachon is nothing more than emunah actualized. That's his concept, emunah actualized. Which means to say as follows, that a person could be walking in the jungle and a lion approaches him. So his emunah tells him that this lion could, it depends on God's will. The lion could destroy me, could not destroy me. It simply depends on God's will. Bitachon means that he feels, he emotionally feels it. In other words, instead of thinking to himself that this lion will definitely destroy me, his emotions are in line with his emunah. Basically, that's what the Chazon Ish says. That bitachon means that the person's emotions are in line with his emunah, which means to say, just like he knows, if a person would be walking in a dangerous situation, that the danger depends on God's will, whether this danger will befall him or not, that's the way he feels at the time. So bitachon is nothing more than emunah translated into emotional, practical terms. That's what bitachon is. That's what the Chazon Ish says. That's what Chazon Ish says, and it's a different idea than most people have about bitachon. Yes. All right. I would like to just elaborate a little more on the concept of what bitachon is. And you see, what I'd like to say is that bitachon is a certain kind of change in a person that takes place because of his knowledge of God. It means like this, that everyone has certain basic fears. Everyone is burdened, especially in today's society, with the preponderance of media, so that people always know different things that are catastrophes that occur constantly. Everybody is always burdened with all these fears that certain things may befall them. But this is something, this is an ancient thing. Now, how does a person handle his fears? Fear is a powerful force. So, most people, by nature, handle their fears with some kind of protective device, a psychological protective device that they create around them. So they say, it's like Chafetz Chaim says, Chas Chaim said that when a person hears that somebody dies, somebody died, so they say, first it strikes them, but then, no, it can't, this can't happen to me. Why? He belonged to a specials club. The Shabbos Union, he said. Dyer's Club. I don't belong to that club. That's not me. You see? So, the mind, the Chas Chaim mentions, the mind creates certain protective devices with which it gives a person a certain sense of security and a certain peace of mind. Now, some people do things, do certain activities in order to protect themselves. They're involved, engaged in certain activities. They feel they do this little thing or that little thing, and therefore they're protected. The ultimate expression of this process is Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is really created by man precisely to ward off any evil that may befall him. And it's basically fueled by fear. But Avodah Zarah, and that's why Chazal say that the denial of Avodah Zarah is the essence of Kala Tarakula. Because Avodah Zarah has many forms. There's primitive Avodah Zarah, and then there's sophisticated Avodah Zarah. In sophisticated Avodah Zarah, the person himself becomes the Avodah Zarah. Whether it's another human being or whether it's his own sense of omnipotence, with which he protects himself, you see, whatever it may be, but basically, every person has some kind of feeling about himself that he has some kind of, I don't like to use big words because it takes away from the meaning, but some kind of omnipotence, you see, some kind of power. Whether it's him or whether it's the fact that he's related to somebody, he knows this person, and basically in some form or another, a person lives with some kind of protection, some kind of sense of greatness. Either it's usually it winds up in modern society. It's in himself, something in himself. So I remember this one actor said that. He got a serious heart attack, and he said he never thought about it because he always thought he was one of nature's favorites. Mm-hmm. See? But that's a sense that he wasn't a person that was religious. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't make any difference. It could take any form. It could be a religious form. It could be a secular form. It doesn't make any difference. But one form or another, this feeling... By the way, this feeling is something which prevents a person from doing chesed. Because... there's no identification between him and the person that's stricken by the unfortunate situation. It can't happen to him. See? That's why the Rambam says that a person that's not a misabel is an achza. Achza means, comes from two words. Achza is mentioned in Iyud. Achza. It means the stranger. That happened to him. He's a stranger. No identification. So this force in man severs his emotional relationship between him and his fellow man, and it's a ma'akez and chesed. It creates achzorius. That's what we call achzorius. Now, the point is that what happens? You see, the human being is created in a way that God made man in a way that his emotions, he didn't create a creature that is supposed to live in a way that is in constant pain. I'm not talking about physical pain, I'm talking about psychological pain. Now, since you see the force in man for immortality, for omnipotence, is really so powerful, that it emerges even those who deny the world to come, who deny the concept of immortality. But if you look carefully at what they say, you'll always find there is a sense of immortality that's driving them. A sense of immortality that's driving them. But it emerges in a disguised form.
a person that supposedly or claimed to live a realistic life, that he lived while he was alive, he lived. But the truth of the matter is that the man was, if you look into it a little deeper, you see, that he was riddled with a fear of death. And it was an attempt to overcome the facing his own mortality. And all the plunging himself into these enjoyments that he's living now is also an attempt to grasp immortality. That's why it's important that he wanted those words on his gravestone. That's why it's important that he wanted those words on his gravestone. If you're not here, there's no need to have anything on your gravestone. No way to to enjoy such a thing. But it's unavoidable. A person can disguise it. He can try to fool himself into thinking that he is above it. But the fact is, it's the most powerful force in man, and there's no way to avoid it. But then you have a person that listens to the Torah. And he davens in Rosh Hashanah, and he says, davens every day, Me'onu, Me'chayenu, and in Rosh Hashanah he says, Adam Yesodo Alofa, Besofo Alofa, and he says, Va'ato Kelchai V'Kayom, and this differentiates between the beautiful piyutim that differentiate between the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that he's the true Melech, and the Melech Elyon, and differentiates between him and the Melech Evyon. The Melech Evyon, what is Melech Evyon? Melech Evyon, that is man trying, grasping for immortality. Grasping, trying to protect himself from the inevitable dangers that lurk before him. Okay? And the dangers are serious. Even if a person should have a healthy life, I mean, old age and death, I mean, can't be talked away. It's not it's not something that anybody would bring upon themselves. And really, if a person looks at it realistically, it's basically a horror. But somehow or other, people protect themselves, and they have to protect themselves against it. But then you have a person, as I'm saying, a person that learns the Derech HaTorah, and he wants to come to grips with his mortality. But the point is, the question is, how could he do such a thing? I mean, since it's such a powerful force in man, how is it possible? Where is all that energy? That psychological energy is going to go. The answer is that it is converted, because God created man in a way that he can exist psychologically in a happy state. But what is the answer? What is the answer? Where does all this emotion go to, this energy? The answer is, it's mentioned in the Tzilus. L'cho Hashem ha-mamlocha, l'cho Hashem ha-gedula, v'ha-gevura, v'ha-teveret, v'ha-netzach, v'ha-hod. So it means that the person transfers all these emotions that he has unrealistically towards himself, is expressed, is transferred to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Transferred to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why El-Keil ha-gadol ha-gibor ha-nor. They're the only one that all the things that a person emotionally would want to ascribe to himself can only be ascribed to God, to the Bar Yalom. And a person who reaches the level of understanding, of living according to Torah, that's what happens. That's what happens psychologically. That's what takes place. That's the metamorphosis that takes place. The emotions can't be changed, and God didn't create man in a way that he will have frustrated emotions. Emotions can't be changed. But the emotions are transferred to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? And that's really the concept. That's the whole Sefer Tehillim. Whole Sefer Tehillim. I mentioned once, Sefer Tehillim is the practical Sefer. It's a unique Sefer. It's a Sefer in which the human emotions are translated and given, directed towards their realistic and true expression. And that's why what Sefer talks about betochen more than Baruch HaGever Shiftach Bar Hashem Voyah Reshem Mishtacho and Asher Yisrael Shechek Avenu L'Mishtam Es Bachamim Pesukim and Pesukim B'chol Batcha V'Shmein all straight through all the other Mishtacho. The constant statement in Tillim, which basically expressed the idea of the Torah. Now, that's the concept of the Torah. That such a phenomenon as possible is such a phenomenon as possible is basically a Torah dust. Now let's get back to the question that we have over here. Question and other. Question in Avos is, what are these Mishnayos doing over here? These Mishnayos, it would seem to me, on the surface, have nothing to do with the Indian of Avos, the area of Avos. Okay. Now, if you take a look at them, you see like this. Actually, there's one of the group is out of place. Which one of the group is out of place? Take a look. In Dalet, you have Asar Nisim Nasu Avasayim. Hey, Dalet, Hey, and Vav. Which one of the group is out of place? What'd you say? Take a look at it. Which one of the group is out of place? The rest. Yes. Okay, that's right. Okay. But there's another one that's out of place. There's one of them there that doesn't belong. Which one doesn't belong?
Or the one from people.
Yes, exactly. In Dalet, the second half of Dalet, Asor Nisyonos Nisu Avoseinu Esamokom Bamidbar. Okay, that has nothing to do with anything before it. I mean, in other words, like this: where you're talking about Asor Nisim Nasu Avoseinu Mitzrayim Valayom, so it's God Nisim. Talking about Asor Nisim Nasu Avoseinu Beis Hamikdash is God. Asor Dvar Nivru Barav Shabbos Bein Hashmoshos is God. But the Asura Nisyonos Nisu Avasinus Amakam Bamidbar, I mean, what does that have to do with that has nothing to do basically with all the other statements. Because the other statements are statements about God's performing of Nisim or God's creation of the world. But the statements where it says that there are 10 times that the Jews tested God, I mean, what does that have to do with this? Basically, it's a separate area altogether. So just because it's Asura, I mean, what does that have to do with it? Okay? It's not really always Asura anyway, by the way. It's the Asura, why Asura is a different question, but not always Asura. But Asura, the reason why it's Asura is one of the reasons. Some of it says Yashomim are more, some are less. But it's basically the mission grouping together. But what is the one that stands out? The one that's out of place is the 10 Nisyonos that the people tested God with. Okay? All right. There's another question. Another question we have to raise here. What does it mean that the people tested God? And why is that called Nisyonos? I mean, we define the word Nisyonos according to the Rambam Shita, according to the Shita of the Ramban. The word Nisyonos means a test. So according to the Rambam, it's in terms of the observer. According to the Ramban, it's not in terms of the observer, it's in terms of the person himself. But how could you, what does it mean that they're testing God? How could you test God? What does it mean? Okay? That's another problem. Some of the Farshim wants, I saw somebody want to say because the fact that it's a nace, that a nace had to occur. But I mean, that's not the same meaning of Messiah. Not the same meaning. Okay. See, in my opinion, I think that there's an idea over here in these few Mishnayos. I think it's like this. I think.
Well, of course,
there's Rabbah. What is?
Yeah,
we'll soon see. But the.
Why would the people interview
you? Yeah. Right. Okay. But what does it mean that they tested God? What does it mean they tested God? Now, the last one See, I think, in my opinion, I think that this is all a build-up. In other words, Gimel, the Asor Nisim Shenasel Avasinim Atzayim V'Asor L'Yam, one. Asor Nisim Nasel Avasinim V'Beis HaMikdash, two. Is building up to Asor Dvarim Nivru Be'er Shabbos Be'en Hashmashos. It's a build-up. Really, all these Mishnayos are related. And the fact that in between is Asor Nisyonos, Nisu Avasenos Amokom Bamidbar, it ties in. So it ties in a very special way. Okay? And as a matter of fact, it's a continuation of Asor Nisyonos and Snasa Avram Avinu. It's all a continuation. I'll show you how it is. There's an interesting Ibn Ezra in this week's Parsha. All right? Parshas Truma. And Mitch Rosner brought it to my attention. It's on the pasuk of Chavov Mem. Okay, it's on this pasuk. It's Chafei, last pasuk Chafei. Reva Asei Besav Nisom Asher Atom Mora Bahar. Okay. Now, there is the Ibn Ezra. It's a bit lengthy, but it's an Ibn Ezra that is a theme throughout the Chumash. Okay, so it's an interesting Ibn Ezra. Alright. He says like this, and I can't really explain fully the Ibn Ezra. And that's why I gave it an introduction. But I think there's an idea that can be gleaned from this Ibn Ezra. An important idea. The Ibn Ezra also is one that really comes before this in Parshas Yisrael. In Parshas Mishpatim, Shmos Chav Gimel, where it says, V'vadetem es Hashem Elokeinu v'asirosi machalo mikirbecha. V'asirosi machalo mikirbecha. In Parshas Mishpatim. The end of Mishpatim. Okay. V'vadetem es Hashem Elokeinu uveirach haslach mecha ves meimecha v'asirosi machalo mikirbecha. It's right before Shviyim Mishpatim. So the Ibn Ezra is like this. He says, Yesh chachomim gedola. There are great chachomim. Chachmei shtei ha-toros. That they're chachomim in the two toros. Which means, Torah v'chzav and Torah v'alpeh. V'lo is asku b'chochmas ha-tolodos. And they never really studied in the chochmas ha-teva. They never studied nature. Al kein lo yacholti lefarish ela brachos. The Ibn Ezra like the rhyme. Yesh kum lo chachmei shtei ha-toros, lo asku b'chachmas ha-tolodos. Al kein lo yacholti lefarish ela brachos. Im lo askir ma'at min ha-chachmas. Okay. So he says like this. He says, you have to have a little bit of patience to go through this, a little bit, all right? He says that the Gufa Adam is from the Olam HaShafel. He says it's from the lower part of the creation. Neshama Al-Yona Kshurba, and the higher part is the Neshama, the soul. He says, and there are, in between the two, there are Emtsoyim, means of connecting the two. Now, he says like this. He says, on the whole, it's called Ruach HaNefesh. He says, the neshama is chachma. The neshama is the chachma. Umoshova b'moach harosh. And it resides in the mind, in the brain, in the head. Okay? Umimena yetze koach kola goshos utnuas achetos. And from there, all the, you have all the nerves, right? Sense perception. Okay? Then he says, v'ruach b'lev. And the ruach is in the heart, related to the heart. It means, it doesn't mean literally, it means it's related to that, because a person's spirit is related, his heart beats fast when he feels, fear, or when he feels some kind of satisfaction. So again, he says, V'yam avakesh esrara. And this is the part that's looking for power. Rizgabral kol ha'omei kenega. And to overpower any force that opposes it. V'hi balas hakas. And that's also the part that gets angry. When it gets angry when it's defeated. Okay? Then he says, v'nefesh bekoved. V'yam esav alecho. And he says that the other part of the nefesh is a part of taiva. So he breaks it up into three different parts. There's the intellect, the moach, and the lathe, and the kaved. Why he associates the kaved, I don't know exactly. But anyways, but regardless, it doesn't make any difference. That's a matter of physiology. But the idea is that there's three components to man. All right? Now he says like this. It's interesting the way he breaks it up into three components. He breaks it up to basically the way the modern psychology is right. It's interesting. Okay. He says, Vashem anichbod. Vashem anichbod nosan atar lachazek ulahagbir ulahagbir hanashomu ha'olyono. He says, God gave us the Torah in order to give strength to the neshomu ha'olyono. The part that has to do, as he calls it, the chokhmah, the intellect, the intelligence of man. V'ozlo yimshol ha'guf oleho. Then the body doesn't have any power over it. The imlo tia haTorah nishmeres oz yigbar guf al hanesham. He says, and if the Torah isn't kept, so then the physical overpowers the intellectual, the neshama, the koach haChokma. The ine etam lachom mashal. He gives a mashal that a person, he gives a mashal where a person can run after the guf. Can run after the guf. Kasher inena chachom or shetucha lizbo. All right, and then he says like this. I'm omitting the certain parts which today don't is based on the old medicine. But anyway, Hashem yisal abocha biyisrael v'horam tarasa. God chose the Jews and He taught them their Torah. V'chasher yishmeruah yimtzoim chachmasam. The Yadrichim Derech Yeshara, Yamtim Chachmasan, Yadrichim Derech Yeshara, Lachol Dover Shalom Yazak Lahem. He says, God, He gave them the Torah, and if they keep the Torah, so He will give them Chachma, and they live according to Chachma, and they go in the right path, and nothing bad can occur to them. He says, Vaklal, Sheyia Gufam Sor El Mishmas Hanashama. The klal is that their physical part should be totally under the sway under the control of the part of Chokhmah. The low hepech hadavar, not the opposite. He says, Ubeis ameit haneshama, when the neshama becomes powerful, yisameit koach hashomer haguf, sheyekabel ha'odom min hashamayim. He says, then the power of that which protects the guf will become greater, that a person receives min hashamayim. Ruah nikra toledus. He says, "V'hinei habracha tia b'chol meichel u'mishteh." The blessing we found in everything he eats and drinks. Ki yesh me'ora bo'o l'chaser koach ha'toledus. K'derech ha'tatocha v'lo sizba. V'hinei koach ha'chluim bo'im b'avur ochel nechnus b'gof. He says, all the illnesses come from food. V'hinei lo yifachei tshomar atar mehen. V'zeu u'beirech eslachmecha. The yesh tachlum, there are some diseases that come mechutz l'guf, outside of the body, because of something in the atmosphere, whatever. Kati yishtanos merechaz ha-meshorosim, v'alzeh kosev asirosi machalom b'kirbecha. V'hinei shoma ha-Torah, interesting Ebenezer, v'hinei shoma ha-Torah, ein lo tzorach l'rofe. A person keeps Torah, doesn't need a doctor. Im Hashem ha-nechbar. Al-kein kosev. That's why it says, gam b'chol yo l'dor shef ha-Hashem, kim b'rofe, and they criticize Asa. That he didn't go to the base of Medrash, he didn't go search for God, but he went for doctors. Okay, Kimbrough. Vine dibarti al chokhmas arafuos. Va'ato adabra al chokhmas amazolos. Now he talks about, nice little yurt. He says, you should know, da kikol hanolad. You can't take this literally, but I'm just, it is an idea. Kol ha'nolad yikru mikrim kederech mashayor ha'marechas ha'mashorsim berega ha'lodo ve'erech ela elela. Okay, this is strange a minute. It says that everything that occurs to a person has to do according to the astronomical phenomena that he finds himself in. Vadover omot ma'od. It's a very deep thing. All right? Now he says like this. He says that when he says, sometimes a person, for instance, is childless, can't give birth, and if according to nature, the person will not be able to conceive, Hashem anechbar im hoya dovek bo ya'ameitz koach toledes hakeloyos. If the person is related to God, so then this will change. V'yisakein alilos hazera cheyolus bonim. Al kem amar Hashem l'Avram, ani kel shaka yitzalach l'fonu v'yeisamim. All right. V'zeo shama kabanei nizal. Same it's tagdinus shaloch. All right. Okay. He says, "V'mtichos v'shnishtam ani abros chod mod maot ki anatzeach hatoledes." The ends and nitzuach memarechas hakofavim. You know, lo nivru lehetiv alahar alolam hashachol. He says it's not a conquest against the astronomical forces. He says, "Rakholchem tomed lavodas Hashem l'tzarcha." He says it's not. There's no conflict here between God and certain other forces. He says, but on the contrary, he says they weren't created to do good or evil. The heavens, they weren't. They have no powers. But he says, "Rakholchem tomed lavodas Hashem l'tzarcha." They go according to God's will. Ubenutzason yikablu b'nei olam hashofel dovra v'hochfal al yada. V'nishma lonakap. Lord al davar zed pashkisi. Okay. This strange, very cryptic Ibn Ezra, as his usual style. First sight, it seems to be saying like some type of astrological phenomenon. Then he seems to deny it. And he says it's a very deep thing. He can't go on. Okay. That's one Ibn Ezra. Now, there's another one that he says in Pashas Truma. He says like this. He says, Kol Yesh, the one that I mentioned before, Kol Yesh al Shnei Drach. Everything that exists in two ways. One is a group, physical existence, like a substance. And then there's something that's not a group, like a malach. It's not physical. He says, also the soul of man. Now he says, and these two, Drachim Hashem Boram Levada, God created them. And there's no possibility for a created being to create any one of these things. In other words, a person can never increase matter. It's impossible. Also, it's impossible for man to remove matter, to destroy matter. It can't be destroyed. He says, there's something which is related to matter, and that is the essence of the thing. And there's something that's related to matter, like a tzura. He says, now that is two different ways. One way is like tzura sakadosha, like the neshama, and the chokhmah and the neshama, I mentioned it. Also, there's something else that's related to matter. Another thing that's related to matter is the changes in matter, like heat, cold, wetness, dampness, dryness. He says, and the second class of things don't remain, but change. Things can change from hot to cold. Different variations. That a person can do. A person is capable of bringing about changes in matter, but only accidental changes. But he can't produce matter, or he can't destroy matter. Okay. He says like this. This is a strange thing. Al kein Hashem ha-nechbod lo yitochin she-yilo d'musa t'muna. Law of medicine, one of theirs. Therefore, it's impossible that God should have any physical form. Ki Hashem bore etzem kol dovar, because God is the creator of everything that exists. Ki kol tzura o medes o mikra. He says, therefore, it's impossible for God to have any physical property. He says, v'etein l'chom mashal echad. I'll give you one mashal for this. What's the mashal? Kadris halavana. The fact that the levana, the moon, darkens. Kishenichnas tzeil ha'oretz beino uvein ha'shemesh v'roshat liyo b'znapa. When the shadow of the earth goes between the sun and the moon, in the beginning of the process or in the end of the process. Okay? He says, and now I'll give you another marshal. He says, we know that the power of the neshama is in the entire guf, and there are certain places in the guf of the adam that have connective links. That go from the brain. He means the nerves. Shiagishu yosem achem, and they're more sensitive than other places in the body, like the eyes and the ears. Okay, because the bones don't have nerve sensation. Then he says, and the heart is an essential part of the body. And that's why you have many things that serve the heart. Okay, now, he says, and the same thing is true with Hashem HaNechbar, with God. We know Ki Kvodo Mole Kol Olam, alright, but there are some places, he says, where you see the Koach Hashem more than other places. And because of two things. One is because of the nature of the recipient. And the second is because of God's intent. Alright? He says, that's why the Makom Beis HaMikdash was chosen. It's all very quick, but let's just read what he says, okay? And he says, and if God gives you Chochmah in your heart, you'll understand the secret of the Aron and the Kaparis and the Kruvim that are Parsech Nafayim, have wings, and outside the Parochas you have the Menorah and the Mizbeach and the Ktoris and the Shulchan, and outside of that you have the Mizbach HaOlah and all its Kelim and the Kior and the Kanof, and all these things are covered for God, he says. And he says, and because of this I hinted to you. He realizes that what he's saying is very hidden, very concealed. But this is the reason why I hinted this to you. Why? Because there are in our generation people that are very intelligent in their own eyes. He says, Ulaya haslu al devarai. Maybe they will laugh, mock my words. So that's why I wrote a verse. That's the Ibn Ezra's message. The Ibn Ezra never problems around the message. Rambam wrote what he thought, and he was naturally condemned. Ibn Ezra is very smart. He wrote a little Sode, and that's it. So you can't say he said anything wrong. I mean, you say, matter of fact, you're afraid to, because if you say he says anything wrong, then you're projecting your own wrong idea. So it's not his fault. He says, and the one who knows the Sode of his neshama and the form of his guf will be able to know, the one who knows the Sode of his neshama, the sort of the neshama and the form of his guf, will be able to know the whole universe. Because a man is in the image of a small universe. That's a famous philosophical, the microcosm, microcosm. Okay. Right. And he was the last creature to appear on the earth. And the simon for this is Bagodol Hechelu Bakatan Kila. That God started with the God of the entire universe, and he concluded with the with man. Okay. And he says, all right, he says that the Goyen says there are 18 things in the Mishkan, and which is in the physical, which is like the physical world, and also 18 things in the upper world. And same thing with the little world, which is this three worlds here now. The Olam HaKatan is man. Hinei HaKal. Kol kruv nasa lekabel koach elyon. Every kruv is created to receive the force, the upper force. Gam ba'avur sheyulmod hamaskil. Vein tarach lahara. That's it. That's the nivnas. All right. Okay. This is the brief one where he says, where God says, hinei anochi shaleach malach in mishpatim. God says, I'm going to send a malach to you la'avicha, but la'avicha. Alright? So he said like this. He says, Oviad Ibn Ezra says, that's in Chav Gimel Chav Aleph, it's really good. He says, now I'm going to give you a mashal. He says, all those who know astronomy and know math, brought conclusive proofs that the moon is a recipient of the sun's light. Because in itself casts no light, and that's why the moon gets darkened. All right, he says things like this. He says, and the darkness is only that the moon is resulting from the moon's position with relationship to the sun. They're both round. Now he says, He says, "V'nei tastir or Hashemish gamba machtes chodesh alavana b'kana fel oras ben Hashemish ben alavana." So he shows alavana. He says that's why when the earth comes between the sun and the moon, so that's why there's no light in the moon. Like he mentioned before, also mentioned. He says, "V'nei yadana ki or alavana balayla toir avi," that the light of the moon at nighttime casts its light on the earth, around gives off light. Vehine, he says, im omar Reuven, if Reuven would say, Zeh or Halavana, that this is the light of the moon, Yomar Emes, he'll be saying the truth. The im omar Shimon, and if Shimon says, Zeh or Hachama, this is the light of the sun, Yomar Emes, he'll be saying the truth. Okay? That's what the Ibn Ezra said. Now that's why over here in Truma, he brings in this mashal. He says, when he goes through this whole thing, he says, "I'll give you a mashal." The mashal is Kadras Halavana. Kishenichnas, when he talks about God, he says, God can't be physical. And then he says, "I'll give you a mashal, Kadras Halavana. And I'll give you another mashal, the neshama and the God." Alright? What is he trying to say? What is he saying? What is the Ibn Ezra really saying? Alright. Let's take a look at the Mishnah. Okay, the Mishnah says, "Asar dvar nivru b'erev Shabbos banish Mishnah." What does it mean? And this is delicate. It's a delicate matter. This concept. I don't want you to misunderstand it.